Along the theme of encouraging disciples, it's important to remember that we're all part of the big family of God. It doesn't matter if we're the youngest, the oldest, whether we feel that we've got nothing to give, or whether we feel that we're really gifted and talented. We're all part of the big family of God.
Saul clothed David with his armour. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David struck Saul's sword in the armour and tried to in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi, and then put it in the shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked at him, David saw he disdained him, for he was only youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come follow me. I will give up your flesh to the birds in the air and the wild animals in the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of Lord and of hosts, the God armies of Israel, whom you have defeated, and the day that the Lord will deliver you into my hand and will strike you down and cut you off your head. And I will give you the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day, the birds in the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that the earth may know that there is God in Israel, and that all assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he may give you into our hand." The Philistine drew nearer to meet David. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and fell down onto the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine and the sling and the stone, striking him down to the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you like to sit down? If you're a sports fan, you'll know that quite often there can be some big surprises. Sometimes the team you expect to win comes second. Sometimes teams like Bradford City beat Chelsea in the FA Cup. And when these sporting surprises and upsets occur, we sometimes call it a giant-killing act. So that Bible reading that Lexi gave for us this morning contains the original giant-killing act, an act by a boy named David that made him really, really famous, an act that advanced David's journey to the throne of Israel. And as we look at this familiar story today, let's focus on faith and fear. And let's realize that the battle between David and Goliath is a signpost. It's not a story. But let's pray. Father, as we look at your word this morning, help us to understand what it is saying to us and hear its true message. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 17 of the first book of Samuel begins with an invasion. The land of Judah has been invaded by the Philistines. The promised land is under attack. The people of Israel must have been really, really afraid for their future. They were led by King Saul. They sent their army to meet the invaders. And for 40 days, the giant Goliath came out and challenged someone from Israel to fight him. But the Israelites were far too terrified. Goliath looked much too big and too strong. Even Saul, the king of Israel, was too scared to fight the giant. But there was one person in Israel who had faith, not fear. There was one young man who was willing to fight against the giant Goliath, a shepherd boy who believed that God would save his people, and that was David. And as soon as David heard about Goliath, he knew he had to be stopped. And if no one else from Israel's army was going to do it, then David was going to take that role on for himself. So can you imagine how surprised Saul the king must have been when David came to him and volunteered to fight Goliath? Saul saw that David was only a shepherd boy and thought he would be no match for the giants. But David insists that he's going to fight Goliath. David says earlier in the text that he's killed wild lions and bears when they've attacked his sheep, and that he's actually going to go and do the same with Goliath. And more than that, David believes that God is with him. David knows that he has God's spirit within him. David trusts that God is going to use him to protect the people of Israel, preserving their place in the promised land. And so David's faith is a great example to us today when we think about encouragement. We should be encouraged that God will always keep his promises. David believed that God would keep the Israelites in the promised land. And so we should believe the wonderful encouragement that God makes to every Christian, that we'll be guided through God's word to us in the Bible, we'll be strengthened by his Spirit, God will forgive us through Jesus, and God makes that great promise to give us life in the eternal world to come. And so we should then take that support, that encouragement, that love, and share it with others. So like David, we can also have confidence that God will help us in difficult situations. As we saw earlier, sometimes we've got all the tools, sometimes we have things that are quite useless. But that's when we become reliant on other people in our church family, other people around us to support, guide, and encourage us, because that is part of what the journey of Christian faith is all about, receiving that support and that encouragement from God, but also sharing it with other people. We're not called to keep what we have to ourselves. We're called to spread it to others. We're called to be a church that loves its community, that's centered on Jesus. And when we confront the obstacles, the things that get in our way, we should be encouraged by the promise of the Holy Spirit, that we will be given that strength, that courage, that stamina, even that wisdom to overcome the Goliaths, the giants in our path. And like David, we should be upset when God is mocked or ridiculed, when we're told that God doesn't matter, when the name of God is taken in vain. That should upset us. But then we should be sharing the passion that David had to honour God, be passionate about sharing the good news about the Christian faith to a world that is often so confused and so needy. And we don't need to look too far to see where those needs are. So King Saul was confronted, he was challenged by the faith that David had in God. And eventually, Saul gives in and he allows David to go and fight Goliath. Saul even offered David his own armor to wear, but it was too big, it was too heavy for David. David was a shepherd, not a soldier, so this massive armor would have just crushed him. He wasn't used to wearing a helmet. He wasn't used to holding a shield. He probably didn't know how to swing a sword properly. But what he did have was a sling and 5 stones that he picked up from the wadi. So Goliath must have laughed when he saw little David coming towards him. Goliath must have thought he was going to be in for an easy victory. But Goliath didn't realize that David had God on his side. Goliath didn't realize that David was actually the person that God had chosen. God had encouraged David. God had chosen David to save his people. And one day he would become their king. And very quickly, it's all over. David uses his sling to throw a stone at Goliath's head, goes straight through the air, hits him in the forehead, and he's dead. And then David grabs Goliath's sword and actually uses the giant's own sword to cut off his head. And so the rest of the Philistine army that Goliath had been leading flee. God's people, the people of Israel, are saved. David is the hero of the day. So he must have been Israel's number one celebrity overnight. And one day he would even go on to replace Saul as Israel's king and all the people acclaimed him. So David and Goliath, it's a really great story. It's a story we've probably all heard many times before. But the story of David and Goliath can also be a signpost towards other things. It's a signpost to a bigger battle that takes place years later. It's a signpost to the battle that takes place between Jesus and the forces of sin and evil and death. Jesus, just like David, was a young man sent by God to encourage, to save, and to shepherd his people. Jesus was a man sent to do battle with the forces of evil on our behalf, forces that were even more intimidating than Goliath the giant. Jesus fights the devil when he is tempted in the wilderness. Jesus quotes God's own words when the devil tempts him to do wrong. He disarms Satan with the words of Scripture. Jesus overcomes the power of sin. And best of all, he defeats death when he rises again from the grave on Easter Day. And that's the basis of our faith. That's the encouragement that we have that Jesus has done it for us. That's the encouragement we need to pass on to other people. So when David defeats Goliath, the people of Israel are then on the winning side. As Christians, we are on the winning side as well because we share in Jesus' victory over sin and death. And we enjoy the forgiveness, the life, the hope that comes from Jesus, just as the people of Israel enjoyed the spoils of David's victory over the giants. So next time you hear about David and Goliath, remember that it's always a signpost to other things. It's an encouragement that we need to share. It's an encouragement that points us towards Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And it points out that Jesus is the greatest hero that anyone could ever hope to have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.